Welcome to America's Top Rebbetzins. May this class be for Rafua Shalema, for Tamara Bat Elka, and also for Devorah Bat Hana. And also in the merit of this class, may Hashem watch over all the Jewish people and give enormous strength to the IDF soldiers, including Kim Bat Miri, Liam Ben Sarit, Lidor Ben Batel, and Lidor Ben Yita. Please click on the subscribe button to subscribe to us on the America's Top Rebbetzins YouTube page, or click follow to follow us on your podcasting app so that you are the first to know when an inspiring new episode is posted. Today, I'm so happy to welcome Rebbetzin Shifra Fried. Rebbetzin Shifra is a Rebbetzin of Young Israel of Bedford Bay in Brooklyn, New York. In that capacity, she has taught many classes and spoken on various subjects, including Shalom Bayis, personal development, and Taharas HaMishpaha, family purity. Rebbetzin Shifra is also an empowerment coach who focuses on helping moms to create warm, loving, and lasting relationships with their teens. Her education and training include a Mastery Coach certification from the Dina Friedman Academy, as well as an Empowerment Coaching certification from Rabbi Aryeh Niven's Mahon Adam HaShalem. Her experience and education and training include multiple healing manifestation processes, including the DeMartini method, and they provide her with a variety of options for custom coaching her clients. So, wow. First of all, I just want to say you are so educated with just, you have so many certifications and so many accomplishments. You have so much experience. It's such an honor to have you on my podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Please tell us more about yourself and what you do.
So thank you so much for having me. I feel honored to be here. And so I guess I, you know, we'll start from beginning of my career. So it didn't start with being a coach. It actually started with being an accountant, a CPA.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So when I was starting out after I went to, you know, I went to college and I got a degree in accounting, and I just thought I wanted to be a tax accountant. And that's what I did for many, many, many years. And I was working, you know, when my first child was born, I started working part-time. So I've been part-time for many years, but over the years, I decided that I wanted to just do some personal growth on my own. I was always into that. So I'd read books. And then at one point, my daughter had recommended Rabbi Aryeh Niven's course. She had taken it and she thought it would be great for me. And so that was really the beginning of my second career, basically. So I started taking it, and this was all just for my own personal growth and nothing to do with coaching at all. I really had no interest. I had a career already. It wasn't like I was looking for something else. And so I took it, and I really liked it. And I did that for a couple of years. And then I went on to Dina Friedman, and she was offering a different style. So I'm always interested in other people's, you know, styles and how they, you know, work in their own world of personal growth. So I took Dina Friedman's courses. She has many courses. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but she has many different types: parenting, marriage, spirituality, manifestation, all different types of courses. And it was years of all of this growing and learning and changing and really making big changes in my life, like mindset changes we're talking about. Not just like, I didn't yell at my kids today. It's more like foundational, very much like a whole different view of the world. And I remember thinking to myself, this stuff is amazing. Does anybody else know about it? Am I the only one? It's just like so unbelievable. So I would include it. You know, I give shiurim in my shul. So over the years, I would start implementing these different, you know, things that I was learning into my shiurim. And it came a time that I was saying I would love to give my own personal growth classes too. But it was just really a dream. That's the truth. It was just a dream. I didn't really know how I would implement it or anything. And then all of a sudden, after I finished my last course of Dina Friedman, because she has a certain amount of courses that she thinks, she offered us a coaching course. And I never thought about doing this as a career. I really didn't. But I thought to myself, you know, that's my next step. That makes sense for me. Like, I want to share. I want to, you know, give over. This has been so helpful in my life. I want to give back. So I said, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't know if I'm going to use this as a coaching one-on-one or not. But I said, let me just take the course. So that's what I did. And I took the course and I loved it. I really loved it. So then what happened was I decided at that point to create a business with three parts. So the first part was the one-on-one coaching. The second part was the workshops that I had always dreamed about giving. And then the third part of my business is taking women on serenity trips.
Wow.
I actually, you know, take women to like a really nice Airbnb. We don't, you know, one time I went really far. I took them to Utah.
Wow.
But I did that one time. I might do it again. But subsequently, it was a fantastic trip. But it was just a lot of work. And, you know, I kind of tried that once, and I'll try it again, maybe if I have enough people who are interested. But right now I've been taking women to the Poconos, different places. And it's a mixture of fun. Like we go boating or, you know, hiking, that's kind of stuff. And we also, you know, have, you know, I teach meditation and bonding, and I have women from all walks of the Orthodox spectrum. We're talking like from New Square to Five Towns to Teaneck, like all over the spectrum. And
wow,
that is the most exciting for me, because it's bonding women from different communities. And what I come away with every time is that we're all the same. We just look a little different on the outside. And it's really, for me, it's so rewarding. I love it. I really love it. And it, for them, it's really bonding. We don't go away for that long, but yet that experience really stays with them for a while. So that's really very cool also.
That sounds really special. I love that. I really, really love that, because you're right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can also gain support from each other, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. That's a very big part of it.
Yes.
It's nice. And I do everything. So they're, you know, they're wined and dined, you know, we're not going camping. It's not like they're, you know, but we are doing, it's a nature trip. It's definitely a nature. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
But we are staying in nice accommodations. So it's a combination of both, you know.
Very nice.
And yeah, Baruch Hashem, it's been really great. I take off for the winter. I'm going to start thinking about my next trip coming up soon, because now, you know, it's getting a little bit warmer. So, you know, we'll start again. But yeah, so, and then with my workshops, so I've given general workshops. Like I have a certain workshop that I just gave called Believing You Could Succeed. So that's a certain workshop that would appeal to everybody. And then I have this other workshop that I've been giving for parenting teens and preteens. And that is, that really speaks to me a lot, because I've been on my own journey and gone through many teenagers. And it's tough. It's not an easy job. But when you connect at a real foundational level and you really, you know, respect your kids, it's a whole different world. So that's what I really, that's my love and my passion. I coach women on all sorts of things in helping them reach their goals. But this, you know, really speaks to me, this parenting teens and preteens. That's a big thing for me.
Thank you. Thank you. I really love that, because as you and I were talking before the interview, I have two teenagers, so I'm really in the thick of it. You know, the teenage years are really, really tough, at least for me, speaking for myself personally. And I have a feeling maybe others feel the same way. It's a difficult age. It really, really is, especially in the society that we're living in today. It really,
yes.
Especially.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about all this today. So,
yes.
You know, I want to start because, you know, I love that you help women on a foundational level to understand where their teens are coming from so that they can really relate to them. And this is so important, because moms can really establish an authentic relationship with their teens. And this is a relationship that's really meant to last beyond the teen years, like a really authentic relationship that's going to last beyond the teen years into adulthood, into older adulthood. And, you know, you personally go beyond the standard parenting classes, and you actually get to the core of what each child is going through so that moms can guide their teens from a place of genuine understanding. So today I really want to find out how you do this. So I want to start at the beginning. So I know that you believe that we must value ourselves before we value anybody else. So can you please talk to us about why it's so crucial to begin doing inner work on ourselves before we can actually help our teen? And also, you know, how can moms begin doing this work?
Right. Okay. So working on ourselves is vital to how we treat the rest of the world. That's basically what the bottom line is. You know,
yeah.
If we look at ourselves as good people and we value ourselves, so then our world is a little bit brighter. And then we look at the people around us as valuable. But if we're upset with ourselves and we don't give ourselves slack and we are not kind to ourselves, then we're going to inevitably not be that kind to the people that are around us. We have to first take care of ourselves before we can take care of others. You know, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. You should love others like yourself. But what does that mean? That means we need to work on ourselves first to make sure we love ourselves first.
100%.
We don't love ourselves and don't give us, you know, give ourselves the slack that we would maybe give other people, then we're in a bad place. We have to really take care of ourselves. So I have, you know, so recognizing who we are is key, because so who are we? That's the question. Who are we? Right. So we know in the beginning of Bereshit, it says, Vayivra Elohim, Hashem created at the Adam Bitzalmo, Bitzalim Shalo, in his image. Hashem created man in his image. So what does that mean, in his image? It means that there is a piece of divinity in each and every one of us. There's a Tzelem Elohim in each and every one of us. So I'm sure that many of us have heard of this before, but what does it mean? What does that mean, a piece of divinity? So I have an analogy that I like to use because I feel like it really helps explain this. And the analogy is one of a sun, okay? So let's say you're walking in the street and the big bright sun is providing warmth for you and light for you, right? So now the question is, that sun, is that actually doing it, or are the sun's rays actually reaching you and giving you the warmth and giving you the light, right? It can't possibly be the actual sun that's touching you, because we'd be burnt up 93 million miles away. It can't possibly be doing anything, but the rays from the sun are. So what are the rays? The sun's rays have the properties of the sun, right? And therefore it provides the light and it provides the warmth. So the analogy is that Hashem, kivayachol, not exactly obviously, but Hashem is like the sun, and the neshama, the soul that's in each and every one of us, are the rays, are Hashem's rays. So Hashem put a ray into each and every one of us, which is a piece of divinity. Now, Hashem's rays, so to speak, have the properties of Hashem, the same way the sun's rays have the property of the sun. What does it mean to have the properties of Hashem? Properties of Hashem means that we are a piece of him. We're actually, it doesn't diminish who he is, but we are a piece of him. So a piece of him means that the same way, you know, in the Yud Gimel Midot, right? So 13 attributes of Hashem, 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 Kel, Rachum, Vachanun, Erech, Apayim. He's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's kind, he's truthful. All these attributes that we give over to Hashem is within each and every one of us. And when you think about that power. How powerful are we? And how much lays dormant within each and every one of us, that we are so powerful, we literally are a piece of Hashem.
Wow.
So when you think about that, that we are very valuable. We are extremely valuable.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the generation that we live in, what's the biggest sickness? Low self-esteem.
It's true.
That is the sickness of our generation. And therefore, we don't appreciate who we are, and we don't appreciate our value. The Yetzer Hara is working overtime to let us know how awful we are, and not recognize who we really are. And so we are literally we have a piece of Hashem in each and every one of us. We're an extension of Hashem's will in this world. We have so much power. We have so much value. Just thinking about that, meditating on that, internalizing that will make us appreciate who we are. And then just imagine, if we appreciate who we are, who are our children? Our children are the same. How valuable are they? But if we don't know how valuable we are, then we don't know how valuable they are.
It's a really good point. It really is a good point, because how can we value them when we don't even value ourselves? It's really, really true. I never looked at it that way, because you're right about the low self-esteem. Our whole generation, so many women don't think highly of themselves, you know, not in an arrogant way, but they just don't even think just normally about themselves. They berate themselves. They put themselves down.
Exactly. Yes.
And then we kind of tend to project that onto our children.
Yes, yes, yes. So imagine, so I'm so into the foundational, because imagine if you felt that you had value and you felt that your children had value.
Right.
So you wouldn't have, you know, let's say, for example, you know, when we say we don't have to speak Lashon Hara, we can't say not nice words to people, Onas Devarim, right? Imagine if we valued every person, then those mitzvahs wouldn't even be an issue for us. Of course we wouldn't speak Lashon Hara if we valued every person. Of course we wouldn't yell at someone if we valued every person. If you get it at a foundational level, then all these things that we have to work on wouldn't even be an issue. It would be like, of course, why would I? They're so valuable. Why would I want to speak anything wrong about them? So that's why, to me, it speaks to me, because it's like, if you get it at the beginning, then everything is so much easier. You don't have to say, oh, I'm not going to yell at them today. It's going to be like, oh my gosh, look at this beautiful neshama.
Right.
That doesn't mean you don't discipline. I'm not talking about that. But you know what? Life would be a lot easier if they felt that energy of respect and value. It just would be easier if you got it right in the beginning. That's it. You know?
It's so true, because like you were saying before, it's a mindset shift. It's not so much of a behavioral shift. The behavior comes, of course, but it's as a result of the mindset shift. And the mindset shift has to come first.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So before we go on to the next thing, I want to talk about it. You know, you brought up such a good point about the low self-esteem. And I'm sorry I'm bringing it up again, but I just think it's so important because so many people go through it. And you're right. Getting it right at the foundational level is really where it's at. So what can we say to women who really struggle with this low self-esteem issue for themselves? Forget about the kids for a minute. Like, for themselves, like, how do I think good about myself when I need to lose 10 pounds. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wealthy enough. The other person got passed over. You know, I got passed over for the job. The other person got it. My car isn't as nice as my neighbor's. Like, how can we get out of that mindset?
Okay. So, you know, there's different levels of low self-esteem. You know, there's levels that might need professional help.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Coach, therapist. Okay. So that's one level.
Yes.
There are also levels that people could work on it on themselves, you know, if it's not such a deep-rooted issue, you know. So really, it's internalizing these type of messages. Like, let's say what I just said right now. Let's say somebody said, you know what, I want to do that. So I would say, this is how I coach my clients, how to internalize any message. How do you keep this message alive?
Yes.
So I create mantras. Create a sentence for myself, whatever speaks to me. Like, I don't tell you what to say or what to think, because it's about you. Everything's personal to you. So whatever rings true to you, write it down on a piece of paper, tape it on your wall next to your bed, wake up in the morning, go to sleep to it, put it on the front of your phone. Whatever it takes to internalize it, like 2-3 times a day, make sure that you tune into that message. What does it take? 5 seconds. It literally doesn't take long. I'm not saying read long books on it. But you would be surprised. You're basically like reprogramming your brain. So if, let's say, this is like just the first level of who are we? What is our value? That would be the first step, you know? And then when you understand that, then you move on to the next step of, like, you know, where you're at, you know? So, you know, a lot of self-esteem has to also do with emunah, you know, believing that Hashem created you the way you are, with your flaws and your everything that's good about you, right? That's Hashem created you. And so it's a very big piece. It's not nothing. It's really important to internalize that you are who you are with everything that, with your environment, with the family background, with everything that you have in your life. It's all from Hashem. It's not you. You didn't create yourself. You know, Hashem created you, and you're here for a purpose. And tune into that, you know, who you are. And, you know, these are a lot of different types of things that, you know, I would work on with a client to kind of get them to a good place. But it doesn't mean you can't do it on your own. If a person's motivated, they can. But I do think that when somebody has help, you know, whether it's professional or not, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a sister, maybe it's like a chavrusa is really important to, like, discuss these type of things, because it could really be very helpful. It's interesting, because when I started with the with Rabbi Nivens many years ago, so he set us up with chavrusas.
Yes.
I still have this chavrusa till today.
Wow.
She knows more about me than anyone in the world. And I know more about her than anyone in the world. But we have, not, and we don't just shoot the breeze. We literally are talking like tachlis. Like, what, yeah. How could we work on this? And it's not like I don't speak to her every day. We try to speak, you know, twice a week, whatever it is, whatever we can in our busy lives. But it's so valuable, because we're literally keeping each other, you know, growing and moving. So having someone else to help you on your journey, very, very important also. Really, really important.
It really is. And I do want to say something about that. You have your Harusa from Rabbi Niven. I do partners in Torah. Maybe you've heard of it. Some of the listeners.
Yeah, sure. Of course. Yes.
And I've had my partner in Torah already 12 years now. I think 12 years.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah.
And we just learned last night together. We studied from a book. We read this book together. And it's amazing because we bounce things off each other. And sometimes I'll say something to her that she never even thought about. And last night she said something to me like, wow, like it just completely blew my mind. It was a basic concept, but it completely blew my mind. So we really, really learned from each other. And we're talking basic things. We're not talking high level Torah things. We're talking
about
daily
basics.
Life.
Basics.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Because when we get it right at the basics, at the foundation, then everything else is easier.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So once we do the internal work on ourselves and we're in a better position to understand where our teens are coming from, it's really important to acknowledge that the world that they're growing up is so different from the world in which we grew up. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have social media. We had to go to the library and check out many books when we had to do a report. We couldn't just Google the information. We also didn't have strangers on social media scrutinizing our appearance, our bodies, our clothing that we wear, because we didn't have social media at all. And today, teenagers have easy access to information, and they're seeing things and learning things that we weren't exposed to until we were adults. So we really can't relate. So quite often, teenagers feel misunderstood, and it's so crucial that we, as their mothers, understand them, because that's how relationships are established, through understanding. So can you please help us to understand our teenagers and the world that we live in so that we can better relate to them?
Absolutely. Very, very good points. Excellent points. Yes. So I say to understand someone is to love them. So, you know, it says in the Torah, whenever the Torah talks about an intimate relationship, what is the word that's used?
No.
Yada, yadia, right? To know.
Yeah.
To know is to love. And that's at the deepest sense. So, you know, think about it for yourself. Think about someone who's close to you in your life. You know, when you feel somebody really understands you, that really makes you feel much more connected, right? So, of course, the same is true for our kids, right? Now, you know, the technological world that they're growing up in is so different from the world that we grew up in. Now, I want to say something here. Now, you and I probably grew up in a different world also, because I'm probably older than you are. And it could be that there are even younger mothers than you that are dealing with teenagers. But I'm still going to say the same thing. No matter what age you are, if you have a teenager, then you grew up in a different world than they're growing up in.
True.
Why? Because the world is changing so fast. Where it used to be every 20 years was a generation, now it's every 5 years, maybe. Maybe it's even less at this point. I don't even know. But like, literally, I talked to my 22-year-old daughter. She already doesn't know exactly what my 17-year-old daughter is going through.
Wow.
We're talking like it's already a different world at that level. Now, obviously, she knows more than I do, right? Obviously, but still, that's how fast the world is changing around us. So your kids are right. We don't understand what they're going through. They are 100% right. So what could we do? How could we help them, right? So what we could do is that we could just show them that we care about them. And have honest, authentic conversations with them. What's it like for you? How are you doing? Tell me about your day, yourself. Tell me what's going on in your life, and show genuine interest in what's going on for them. Because they are right. We really don't know. And we can't even pretend to know, because we don't. We really don't. And there's so many different, you know, facets of this. So the unconditional love, the energy that we have for them, that they feel that we care about them, that we respect them, that we understand that it's not easy for them. All those messages that are coming through, even energetically, are so important for them to feel. And when they feel it, then they say, oh, okay, my parents really care. They really care about me. And I want to share with them, because then they're more open to sharing, as long as it's non-judgmental, of course. Because it has to be don't give them your advice. Forget the advice. Maybe later on, after you understand a little more what they're going through, and they ask you, but don't start giving, they don't want to hear advice. They just want to hear that you're listening to them, that you're, you know, they're coming home after a hard day. Mom, this is what it's about. And then you just listen and validate and acknowledge their feelings And don't start chiming in with, well, you know, you should do this. And you know, so-and-so is a bad influence on you, so stay away. None of that, none of that. Especially not then. Doesn't mean you never could say anything. But if you want to connect with them in an authentic way, it's just about listening. It's not about giving advice. Not, certainly not at that point. You know, it could be at a different point when something comes up and you could say, you know, I was thinking about it. What do you think about this? Fine. But you want to really relate to them with respect. That's really important. You know, it's true that we need to be respected as parents, but you're going to go far if you respect your kids. It's going to be a much different relationship if you show them they're human beings. Every human being deserves respect.
That's
it's
100%.
Not the same. We're not equals. Of course we're not equals.
Right.
There's a basic respect, you know, that we have to have, you right. know. So.
So, I mean, you bring up a really good point. And I really like that you said that, because I know oftentimes we want to offer the quick fix. We want to save them. We want to tell them what to do, which direction to go, make the decisions for them. And I really like what you said about just listening. But there are times that I have three kids and with three very different personalities. So everything, I have everything you can imagine.
Right.
So what happens if you have a kid who doesn't want to talk? Like, you can't even listen because they don't even want to talk.
Right. So the energy is important. Energy is important. So getting yourself into that energy of love, unconditional love. I'm here for you if you ever want to speak. And saying that lovingly and constantly, you know, could be that they don't want to say anything. And that's okay. Respecting their privacy, but letting them know that you are so there for them. And like, you know, maybe there are ways that you could reach them. You know, let's say, for example, like I know with one of my kids, like, she's already older. I don't have to be making her breakfast, or she's 19, right? So I don't have to make her breakfast. I don't have to make her hot cocoa or tea or whatever it is, but I do it because this is giving a lot more than just the actual food or drink. This is giving love, and right. she's receiving it like that. So whereas I don't have to do it, the kid's already old enough to be married. I don't have to do it, right? But it's not about that. It's about, I want her to keep feeling my love. And that's all it's about. You know, that's all it's about. So like, even if the child is not interested in talking, but having that energy when you're doing things for them and letting them know that, you know, you're here for them always and no matter what, they're going to feel it, you know, and maybe one day they'll open up and maybe they won't, but that doesn't mean they're not going to feel that. You know, but, you know, we have to be careful, though, because what happens is sometimes people plaster a smile on their face whenever their kids go, hi, but they're seething inside for something and their energy is pretty bad, but they. So the kids feel that energy. They might be confused. They might be mixed up, but it's not a healthy flow. It's not healthy. You got to work on yourself. That's the inner work. There's so much inner work to be a parent.
So much. Oh my gosh, so you're not kidding.
You got to work on yourself so that you have that good energy. It's so important. You can't just fake it. You know, now you might fake it till you make it as long as you're working on yourself.
Right.
So that's good. Doesn't mean you should be yelling at your kids because you're angry inside. I'm not saying that. But understand that they're not going to receive that as loving if you're upset inside.
Right, because it's not authentic.
Even if you're upset at somebody else,
yeah.
Let's say you're upset at your husband, they're not going to even understand that difference. They might take it as you're upset at them.
Right.
So you got to be really, really careful with kids. They're very sensitive and they always blame themselves. Everything is about, like, if my mother's upset, it must be I did something wrong, which is a terrible thing. It's really a terrible message for them to receive, which isn't even true. So we have to be so careful. We really have to be careful with our kids. Now, I just want to say, you know, I sound like an expert. You know, I've been through a lot and I have a lot on my, you know, it's not like, I didn't know all this when I started, you know what I'm saying? This is a lot about my journey, you know, and understanding where kids are coming from. So it's not like, oh, somebody could just say, oh my gosh, well, she knows because she's an expert. No, I've been there, done that, still doing it and just learning along the way and appreciative that Hashem gives me this journey so that I could perfect myself as a parent, but I'm still at it, and that's what it's about, and that's what our journey in this world is about. So everybody should understand that and not take it like, oh, she knows, I can't handle it, I don't know what to do. You know, no, you all, everyone can do it. If Hashem gave you these children, that means you have what it takes to be the best parent, and you are the best parent for that child. That's why this child was given to you. So that's really important to understand, and not to just like, oh, she's an expert, she knows. It's not about that. It's really not. That's really not.
Thank you. Thank you for, yeah, thank you. Because we're all going through it, and we're all trying to learn. We're doing the best that we can on our journey.
Yes.
And I really like the way that you said that energy is important. Like, you know, I've also been in the position like that you said, you know, I'm trying to smile and inside I'm just really upset. Sometimes at the kid, sometimes at somebody else, sometimes even at a situation, not even necessarily a person, but maybe something happened. I'm just upset. And they feel it. They feel, they know there's something not quite right. Maybe they can't tell me, but there's something, you know. But it also, you know, with a child who doesn't want to talk, you're right. Like, it's, you're not responsible for the outcome, whether they talk or whether they don't talk, but you are responsible for the type of energy that you're projecting toward them. And if you just really make that effort to do something loving, even if it's not cook, even if it's not making a tea or a cocoa, even if it's just being there, just, I love you, I'm here for you, or even a smile or just like a touch on the shoulder, you know, maybe they don't want to be hugged, but like just something, just so they can feel that energy. Mom's here. Even if I don't want to talk, just to know, just for them, their own mental sanity, to know somebody here, somebody loves me. Yes.
For their comfort. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
That's a, thank you. That's a very important point.
Yeah.
So every teen is different, as we were saying, and every parent's challenges with their teen are different. So as parents, we often feel guilty and we blame ourselves for our children's behavior and also for their struggles. And this is not helpful to anyone. I wanted to help moms to be productive with their feelings instead of getting caught up in the blame and shame game. So can you please help us learn how to acknowledge and validate our own emotions and feelings surrounding our child's situation? And also, how can we learn to accept our children when we can't accept their behavior?
Right. Okay. So, you know, we're back to our inner work again.
Yes.
So the first thing, you know, it's funny because when I give my workshop, this is my first class, you know, is understanding our emotions and feelings and what it's all about, and validating them, because really what we need to do is, we need to accept ourselves before we could do anything else. So we have to be honest and real with ourselves. And we can't just brush away our emotions and feelings. They're real. Anything that comes up for us is real. And guess what? All emotions are okay. There's nothing that's bad. Everything is okay. Good, what we perceive as good, what we perceive as bad, they're all okay. And we should not be judging our emotions and feelings. We should just acknowledge them, validate them, and then they're going to pass through. So it's so important that we get that. That piece is vital, because we're not so real with ourselves many times. You know, we get upset about something. Let's say we get insulted. Let's say somebody insults us. So we feel that the responsible and the mature thing to do is to ignore it, right? That would be that. We're not gonna feel that pain of the insult. No, we'll just ignore it and that's it. But guess what? That emotion, those feelings are not going anywhere. You're burying that insulting feeling. And when you bury it, it's not going away. It's just in you somewhere. And guess what? When that happens over and over and over again, you're burying all these emotions, and they're gonna come out in some way that's not pretty. It's
right.
Just not. But imagine if somebody insults you and you say, I feel bad. That really hurt. I feel hurt by that insult. And it makes sense that I feel hurt by that insult, because it's not true. It wasn't nice. Let's say you say that, right? So guess what? When you acknowledge and validate that, it's going to go away. You're going to get past it. But when you just ignore it and you're not real about who you are and what your feelings are all about, then it's just going to come back to haunt you. And what happens is, it's, we're talking about for many, many years, we're doing this since we're little kids. And unfortunately, sometimes we're brought up in the people around us are like kind of teaching us to ignore our feelings too, because they themselves don't know that it's important to acknowledge and validate their feelings.
Right.
So we're talking about however old you are, 40, 50, 60, 30 years of constantly just invalidating your feelings. What's that going to do to you? you know? So that's not the way to approach it. The way to approach it is that Hashem gave us every emotion. Every emotion is God-given. And it's okay. And everything's okay. And we're allowed to feel, and we should feel, and we should recognize that and acknowledge it. And once you're okay with that, then you're much more real with yourself. You're much more honest with yourself. And then you can be more honest and real with your kids. But if you don't even allow yourself to be insulted and to feel that pain, and you don't allow yourself to be frustrated, your child comes back at 1 a.m. and you're so angry. But what are you doing with that? You're not allowing your anger. Doesn't mean yell at the kid. You have to deal with it yourself. You do not yell at the kid, but you have to acknowledge, yeah, I was so worried about this kid. It's 1 a.m. I'm really worried. And it makes sense that I'm worried.
Right.
So we have to acknowledge these feelings and be okay with them. And that's how we're real with ourselves. And when we do this inner work, then, you know, so that's what I tell my clients. I say, what you need to say after something happens is, I am willing to be blank, whatever it is. I'm willing to be angry. I'm okay with being angry. I allow myself to be angry. I said the wrong word. I allow myself to be angry. I allow myself to be insulted, and then give a reason why. Because it makes sense. ABC, you know, fill in the blanks. But when you say that, you're automatically acknowledging that feeling, and then it's going to pass. So that's really important.
It is so important. You are actually the second person who told me about this concept, which is, I guess it needs to be reinforced. That's why I'm hearing it again.
Yeah. You know?
Because I'm also like, okay, I'm not, if it doesn't feel good, if I don't feel like I should be feeling, whatever it is, like, I just really try to push it away. Like, I really do, you know, and maybe try to fill it with something more pleasant or whatever, you know, and that just leads to suppression of your emotions, because then they resurface again, and then you push them down again, and they come up again, and it's a whole big battle. But once you acknowledge them and you feel, I'm really super angry, I'm jealous, I'm upset, whatever it is that you're feeling. And if you just allow yourself to feel it without judging the emotion, because I know, yeah, speaking for myself personally, I tend to judge my emotion.
Yes.
Really, why are you feeling this? You shouldn't, you know, just
exactly
feel the emotion, and then it'll go.
Exactly. That's a very, very good point. For some reason, I don't know, I guess the Yetzer Hara is, you know, involved in this, because for some reason we tend to feel that, you know, in order to be strong, we have to suppress emotions. Like, a strong person can't deal with emotion. No, that's just not true. But you're so right saying you should not be judging your emotions. Non-judgmental, absolutely, absolutely right. It's an emotion, and it's not good, it's not bad. No judgment, just let it pass.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. And then there's also that piece about how we can accept our children when we can't accept their behavior. Because like you said, the kid came home at 1 a.m, a boy or girl, doesn't matter. He came home, he or she came home at 1 a.m. You're upset. They didn't call you to say, okay, I'm coming home late. You didn't know where they were. You didn't know who they were with. You were just like legitimately worried for them, for their safety. Are they okay? Like, you know, so that's, some people may be okay with that. But for others, that might be unacceptable behavior. So how do you still accept and love your child who you know is a good person, but you're not so thrilled with this behavior?
Right. So after you do your inner work of, you know, allowing your emotion, and you're becoming more emotionally healthy, which is very important. So then you could move on to guiding them, right? When you're emotionally healthy, it's not about, you know, you, it's about how to help them be the best version of themselves. You know, that's what it's about. So we have to accept them for who they are, and they need to know that. It's all about that energy and acceptance and respect and understanding the boundaries, that this is how we live and this is the world that we're living in, and coming home at 1 a.m. without telling me, it's a dangerous world out there, and I need to know what's happening. I validate that you want to be a little more free and you think it's okay, but your mother is worried. Your mother is more, and you know, you could talk about yourself, and you make sure that when you do have to reprimand or you know, do some discipline, make sure it's in a loving way. You know, just say, I love you so much, and I really don't want to have to do this, but I'm so worried about you that I just have to just make this clear how important it is that these rules are abided by, and because of this, you know, you do whatever you feel, you know, is the right discipline, but do it in a loving way. Make sure that they understand that you're doing this because you want the best for them. And it's not about angry at them. It's just so that they can understand that this is not acceptable. And you know what? Your kids are going to appreciate it. I know that for a fact. I've gotten feedback from my kids. When you display boundaries, they feel safe. They feel loved. They know that their parents are taking care of them. And that's really important for their welfare. But they might be annoyed at the time and angry at you and yell at you and do whatever they're going to do. But understand in the long run, and not even such a long run, even, you know, after they calm down about the situation, they know their parents care about them. And that is more important than the moment of anger that they're being disciplined, you know, knowing that someone's watching out for them. If we didn't care about them, we'd say, do what you want. I don't care. Whatever. Who cares? But we care about them. If we care about them, we need to establish boundaries. We need to, you know, make sure that things are working properly. So they're going to appreciate it. They definitely will. And, you know, it's really healthy for them to feel that, because that is a form of love that maybe is not a hug and a kiss, but it's a form of love. It really is.
It's for sure. And so interesting, you know, when you were talking, this made me think of a situation that I had, which I think is kind of funny, but I wanted to share because maybe it might be helpful to other people. And it's exactly to your point. Usually, you know, my son, like, he likes to exercise. Either he'll go to the gym or he'll go running. He won't always tell me where he's going. And usually, like, I'll call him and he'll answer the phone and he'll tell me he's fine. Like, he's fine. He's always safe. It's just that I don't know where he is. So one time I actually knew where he was. I knew that he was safe, but he didn't know that I knew where he was, that he was safe. And when he came home, he said, "Mom, I'm surprised you didn't call me." I didn't call him because I knew already, you know, that I didn't need to. And I was like, wow, like that just struck me. Like, for all the times I do call him, he's noticing that I call him. He's noticing that I care about him. It's very, very interesting because it's to your point. They want to know that you care and they want to know that their boundary. My boundary is like, I just really need to know where you are. You know,
that's a great story. That's a great story. Yes. Really a good story.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you mind if I share that on my workshop?
No, please, please do. I think it could help people. Yeah, please do.
Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah.
And also I want to say something about it. You know, you were saying earlier that a lot of kids take things personally. You know, if mom's upset, it's because I did something. So also, like, in a situation, you know, where a kid is doing something that you don't want them to be doing and you do discipline them, even if you do discipline it with love, I think at first they still may blame themselves. I mean, yes, they did the action. Okay. So it is kind of their fault. So there is some kind of truth to that. But I think, like, over time, this kind of approach of unconditional love, but still with disciplining and disciplining with love, disciplining with boundaries, you know, disciplining with a good energy, like, you know, just talking to the person and just really continuously doing this over a certain period of time, then I think the kid will slowly, slowly, slowly learn to say, okay, you know, I did something wrong, but she's not blaming me. I'm not in trouble. Like,
right.
She's disciplining me for my own good. And then they'll be able to internalize it differently is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Also, I want to share something that's just very brief.
Yes.
You know, a teenage brain is very different than an adult brain. It's not fully developed. And that's a really big point. There's the prefrontal cortex, which is the rational brain. And then there's the limbic system back here, which is the emotional brain. They're working with their emotional brain. Their rational brain is not fully developed. Right. So just understanding that piece is really important because it's not like it's their fault. This is the way God created them. Right. And when they're more emotional, there's a reason they're more emotional. That's the way they function. And that's the way their brain is working at this time. It's not until 25 years old about that their brain fully develops, which is why car insurance is so expensive for young adults, right?
Yes.
Because it's not fully developed. And that's scientific. It's like there's nothing to talk about. So even understanding that piece might help a mother, hey, you know, I got to lay low because they're not even fully developed.
It's not their fault. They can't.
They can't.
Developmentally, they can't, understand, rationalize at a certain level.
Yeah. So that's important to keep that in mind.
It's so true. So we have time for one last question. And I just want to ask you, what is the best way to fill our child's emotional love tank so that they feel empowered to go through life? I want to see if maybe you can please share with us some insights, some tools, some techniques, just to regain that loving relationships with our teen, which really does have a lot to do with filling their emotional love tank.
Right. So every person has a different way of expressing and receiving love. Usually it's the same way, but it's important to reach your child in the way that they can receive it. You know, you have one child who actually appreciates touch, appreciates hugs and kisses, right? They really love that. And then you have another one who appreciates, you know, acts of service. You're constantly doing things for them, right? So it's really important for you to tune into your child and figure out what is their love language. And it's a matter of working smarter, not harder. So, you know, I have a story. It's a little bit sad. It's a little bit of a sad story, but it really highlights this point. So I know somebody personally that the daughter, her love language was touch, and the mother's love language was acts of service. Okay. The mother was not at all a touchy person, not at all, really hardly hugged and kissed her child, right? And the daughter always felt that her mother hated her. That is what happened. She always felt that her mother hated her. And we're talking like now she's much older, she's older than me. And she for years felt that way. And then when she was looking at some letters, maybe she was in her 40s, I don't know exactly. She was looking at some letters that she had gotten from her mother years before, she was in college or whatever it is. And she saw in her mother's letters, she saw, I did this for you, I did that for you, I went here for you, I, you know, all the different acts of service that she did. It dawned on her in her 40s that her mother did love her. She was just doing it in a different way. But just imagine how sad that is, that for all those years, she thought her mother hated her. I mean, what does that do to a child? Like, I can't even, and an adult, right? And could you imagine? I'm sure the mother felt that energy also, that the daughter was, there was some friction going on and probably didn't understand what was going on because she was doing for her daughter and she did love her daughter. It wasn't even true. And yet, now this is a little bit extreme, honestly. I don't know. Maybe it's not so extreme, but it's a crazy story because it's so sad. This mother was doing her best and the child was not receiving it. And it took her so long to figure out that it wasn't true. So important to tune into what is your child's love language. There's five different love languages. There's words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and gifts. Tune in. Doesn't mean everybody loves everything. The question, well, mostly. But what's number one and number two? And, you know, in my workshop, we talk about this and how you could figure out what your child's love language is. But just the idea of like thinking about it, you know, you might be able to figure it out right away. A good way sometimes is notice what they're doing for somebody else.
Right.
You know, if they give lots of gifts to other people, chances are they appreciate gifts as a love language. So that's, you know, that's important. To hone in and to figure out, you know, how to, you know, what makes them tick. You might want to just ask them, but they might not appreciate that. So you might want to do a little detective work. It depends. You have to know your relationship with your child. If your child could appreciate that, then just ask them straight out. What's your love language? You know, you could have a discussion about it. But if it's more of like, we don't talk about those things with, you know, so then you have to do some detective work. But it's worth the effort. Because they're going to receive it in a much better way when you can tap into what they really appreciate.
And that makes a lot of sense. And also sometimes the kids don't know their love language. So I don't want like any parent to be frustrated if you ask your kids
exactly.
And they say, you know, they don't know.
Right. Well, you could have a discussion about it. You know, they might not know it off the top
right away.
You know, what do you think? You know, and just talk about it. But you're right. That happens to be there's some tests that you can give to, you know, their tests for that. You know, you can get online. It's part of my workshop also. Like we, you know, we give the test. There's an adult test, there's a teen test, whatever. So, you know, there's different ways of doing it.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. Thank you so much, Robertson Schiffer, for joining us on America's Top Robertsons. And the merit of this class, may Hashem give a refuah shlema to Tamara bat Elka and Devorah bat Hana. And may he also watch over all the Jewish people and give enormous strength to the IDF soldiers, including Kim bat Miri, Liam ben Sarit, Lidor ben Batel, and Lidor ben Gita. Thank you so much again.
Thank you so much for having me. And I wish you all the best on your parenting journey.
Amen. Thank you. And for you too.
Amen. Thank you so much.